Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Were you disappointed to hear Bears offensive coordinator Shane Waldron say the Bears are going to look at each of the seven sacks against Caleb Williams last week as an entity rather than part of a larger scheme theme about the struggles on their offense, even while conceding a run game with naturally correlate to less pressure? Here's what Waldron said.
You know, the sacks can be a sack number, but the pressures is the more thing that we're focused on. You know, what are those games looking like? Are we handling them? Are we tight? You know, including the running backs, including the tight ends when they're asked to be a help in pass protection as well.
Disappointed to hear that from the Bears OC?
I'm not sure what I heard. I listened to that several times. I'm not sure exactly. I listened to him. He uses a lot of words, and he says a lot. He doesn't really address many things. Was he implying that the tight ends and the running backs are partially responsible? I think what he's saying is that the protection has broken down in all aspects, not just with the offensive line. I think he's trying to stand up a little bit. I think he's protecting the protection a little bit. But, you know, listen, run the damn ball. It's that simple. And you will find things a lot easier. He seems to acknowledge that fact, but I would not look. He's trying to look at their protection issues in their entirety rather than as a problem with the offensive line. And I understand that other players have missed blocks and other players have been responsible, but the line, for the most part, has been the most responsible and has missed the most rushers and been beaten one-on-one quite a few times. So I don't. You know, the idea that the line is angry and doesn't like the criticism they've gotten, well, you know how to avoid that, right? Just protect the pocket, keep the quarterback clean, and I don't think anyone's going to say anything. But when you come out of a game and you have seven sacks allowed and 11 quarterback hits, that's not pressures. Guy was pressured all day, but he got hit 11 times and sacked seven times. That comes down to player survival. You cannot have that, and you've got to change things up if you have it. So I was hoping for more concrete, more substantive statement from him, but at least he's aware of the problem.
I'm with you 100%. It would have been nice to hear a little bit clearer, but it's almost exactly what we heard from Coach Eberflus, right, where he said kind of the same thing. It's everybody, but he never... He didn't blame the scheme. They're not blaming. They're not pointing a finger or taking a thumb to themselves. They're kind of pointing at everybody else on offense. But I think we can all keep asking, what's up with the scheme?
We can keep asking that. I think they're talking around the obvious thing, and this is what coaches do when they realize that they were just overmatched and manhandled, and you can't stand up there and be as honest as you might like to be. As honest as I hope that they are being in the meetings, on the practice field, and watching the tape, because they were manhandled. And we can talk about communication, as Caleb Williams did. We can talk about receivers running routes that didn't correlate or connect with the pass protection or pressure, or like Cole Kmet implied. And we can talk about all these things. And heck, if you even want to go in to say that each of the seven sacks was an entity unto itself, whatever that means, fine. Bottom line, Bears were manhandled on the offensive line. They need to get better. They need to get tougher. I don't know if they can get stronger, but they need to find ways to keep the Colts off their quarterback and win one-on-one battles. And then you can talk about the next level of protection, which is scheme, cadence, using the quarterback, and identifying. There's a clip going around where Caleb Williams was identifying the right guy. He changed the protection at the line of scrimmage, backed up, took the snap, and Braxton Jones was still beaten. So you can't do everything from the schematic or the identification point of view. Sometimes you just have to win mano a mano.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's Brad Biggs. Biggs' time is 7 this morning. He'll share his official pick. Did you notice on Sunday when he was listed as inactive, Velus Jones Jr. was also listed as a wide receiver? And how about over the last 2 days, he's lined up as a wide receiver and not a running back? Didn't Jones move to running back so he could actually make this team?
Did not notice that. I am glad we got to Friday 6:06 before we mentioned the name Velus Jones. I don't think there's many guys on the roster more irrelevant.
Position change.
I don't know that it's a position change. I think it's probably out of necessity. Keenan Allen hasn't practiced all week, and maybe they need another guy as a potential fill-in, but he's not going to be. If he wasn't the guy last Sunday, I don't think he'll be the guy this Sunday. They did nothing really in the special teams kick return game to warrant, oh boy, we need Velus Jones. I don't think I've heard anybody say that. Did he move the running back? I don't know, and I don't really care.
Say it.
I don't really care.
What I find alarming and interesting, though, about this, and you brought his name up, David, is Keenan Allen. And it's almost like this might be worse than they're letting on. And they don't have enough depth at that position, as you mentioned. So that's why he's there. I just hope that's not the case, because they're trying to get him up to speed because they know more than they're willing to share right now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think that it's – I noticed it on the when the injury report
Inactives.
Came out. Yeah, I noticed that he was listed as a wide receiver, and I thought, well, that's odd. Because I was told he was a running back, and I believe the coach said he was proud of him for carrying the ball in the second half of that game after he committed the horrible flub early in the game. Look, I think it matters just because they did sign a wide receiver, right, to the practice squad. They lost a defensive end off their practice squad to New England, I believe, to their regular roster, and then they replaced him with a wide receiver. So it's just interesting. It's just interesting that you made a guy play a different position in order to justify keeping him on the team. And now that he's made an error and can't play, and I don't know, does he play? Do you bring him back? I don't think you bring him back as a returner. Can you bring him back as a wide receiver? Is he more comfortable in that position? Is that why they made the change? Or did they realize that he's not going to help him in the running game? So I find a position change interesting in week 3. That's all.
Here's another question.
That's the voice of Mark Grody. He's here at 825. What is your take on Shohei Ohtani becoming the first ever member of the 50-50 club? Is he immortalized forever due to that accomplishment? Which of the two achievements is more impressive? And can you believe he did this while recovering from Tommy John surgery?
Listen, I think that that's part of the story here. I think the fact that you paid this guy, you brought him in, and he's like the best player in baseball while he's recovering from Tommy John surgery is just about as extraordinary. Second Tommy John surgery is about as extraordinary as anything that you'll see in sports. He is just a spectacular player, and his performance last night underscores it. The idea that he is the first member of the 50-50 club. I mean, people have stolen many bases. People have hit many homers. But to be able to do both those things is just mind-boggling. It just underscores the greatness of the player and how peerless he quite frankly is. He's the best player in baseball. And even as he's recovering from an injury, he can put up a season. Like, this is Ruthian. This is the sort of thing where you're just, I'm so much better than everyone else that I can do this as a leadoff hitter, right? Hasn't he been leading off? I don't even know where to put it. I think, I had thought about it and he was heading toward it and it didn't surprise me. But then, like, the way that it happens, the way that he meets the moment like he did yesterday, it was just unbelievable. It's just it's just an extraordinary achievement, and it's a pity that he's not doing it here in town.
It is a pity he's not doing it here in town. Speaking of not doing it here, I did look this up to share it with the audience. April 22nd and April 23rd, Ohtani and the Dodgers at Wrigley. Mm. So, I mean, if this doesn't get you to go out of your way.
Or?
Tokyo. Well, okay. I guess most of us can't get to Tokyo.
Show trip.
Let's go.
Score House Tokyo.
Let's go.
Right? No?
I'm in.
What else, Dustin?
Dustin, we'll shove you into the airplane like they do the subway.
Hopefully it'll be a better airplane than the White Sox travel.
Steerage. Is that the right word?
As long as we get the first class, the 8 first class seats.
So what we saw last night was historic and obviously underscored why he is worth every penny of the $70 million he will be paid this year and the $700 million they have committed to him over the next 10. That's what Dave Roberts said after the game. His own manager put his owner on the spot and said this is a good return on his investment and even invoked the $700 million term. You don't hear that very often.
No.
But you don't see what you saw last night at all, and you never have. And the only thing that you can say is, wow, this was this raised a lot of questions. First of all, you look at why in the world would Skip Schumacher, get to know that name a little bit, maybe Sox fans, why would you throw to him after he hit 2 home runs? He showed up again in the 9th inning. Then he talked about pitching to him after the game. I don't understand that. But what Ohtani has done is effortless. And it's something that you just can't describe or explain adequately until you see it. And then he looks so smooth and fluid. And you realize that he not only can hit and he can run, but he can pitch. And he has yet to do that because he is apparently rehabilitating his right arm. This is one heck of a rehab stint. Making history in this way. It is Ruthian. It is Jordan-esque. You're watching one of the greats, one of the all-time greats, not only today in modern Major League Baseball, but ever to play the game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Oh, my God, what a question.
Joe Fortenbaugh, 740 with Mully and Hall. What do you think of the lasting impact of Thursday's story on the White Sox demise by The Athletic will be? How could it leave a mark, or will the Sox just ignore it and move on?
I hope they don't ignore it and move on. I know it was a long day at 35th and Shields for everyone who works there. And it was a day off from playing, so they were spared another loss as they limp toward making the kind of history no team wants to make. They've got to let this register. They've got to let this sink in. They've got to recognize and realize that they have been made the laughingstock of Major League Baseball. And all that they have done in approaching this record is bring more attention to their futility. And as the national media descends onto the South Side or takes a microscope into what is wrong, they've got to address how to fix it. And they've got to be honest and transparent and look in the mirror and understand the kinds of things that are limiting them from becoming credible again, respectable again, and the things that are in the way. It starts with you have to spend money to make money. It starts with an approach. It starts with being willing to do that. I think they're not there yet because next year the general manager is saying it's going to be a long season. We have heard reports of cost cutting. I don't know if that's the way you get there. I don't know if that's the way to approach this. They don't travel well. They are cheap on analytics. They have got a reputation issue. They have poor messaging, and they have bad players. They've got to come up with a plan that beefs up the front office, addresses the analytic deficit, and tries to find a way to send a message, whether it's symbolic or otherwise, that the Sox aren't cheap. That's going to be very difficult to do because it's hard to unring this bell that went off yesterday about 7:30.
You guys did a great job yesterday covering that story and letting everybody know about it. Things have been bad enough, and now that story kind of rubbed your face in it. And if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what would.
Well, they've identified, the person responsible for why the White Sox are putting together what will end up being an historically awful season. So, I think there are both the whys this happened, right? The kind of details such as the bizarre battle statistically. What are we going to use? What aren't we going to use? How behind they are with other people. But I think that the identifying the person responsible is really an important thing to do. And I don't know if it was as bad for the organization as it was for the owner of the team, because that was the emperor unclothed. That is what we witnessed in that story, the way it was written, everything that was said about it, is stuff that you kind of understand. So I think that the Sox are a mess, and they're created by one man who has, continued to influence decisions. This is what was pointed out in the story. So, the question for me would be not if everybody in the organization read the story, but if the guy responsible did. I'd like to know if Jerry read that story, or if he just got someone to tell him the details, or did it move him in any fashion?
Hmm.
He threatened to have a news conference at the end of the year, didn't he?
He says that he will address it all at the end of the season.
So I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see if he addresses any of it, and if there is pushback to anything he has to say, how he responds to that. There's part of me that's surprised we haven't heard from Jerry, just because of the nature of what has happened over
you
the
mean
years.
In general or after this story?
After
this
story.
Yeah. I thought we might. Yesterday.
I did.
I thought we might get another statement that was refuting some of the things that were either alleged or reported.
Right.
And you have seen front offices, ownership groups, whatever the case may be, respond to situations like this, similar to this, because this was a metaphorical takedown.
Yeah, I mean, it was a guy with a 1950s baseball mentality being told that he's responsible for the worst season ever because he has a 1950s baseball mentality. He has never entered the modern era, and that's the problem with the team.
And if that is consistent with what you say, then if you have a 1950s baseball mentality, you're not responding to media reports. You're just kind of taking your punishment.
Yeah, or you're just ignoring it. You know, you're just pretending, you know, that you're still fully clothed as you march down the street.
With your leather jacket.
Nothing else.
Boy, that's a good question.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer. He's here at 8. Now that the Cubs have officially lost the division and are out of the wild card race, who do you hold most responsible for a season that doesn't fit the definition of success? Craig Counsell, Jed Hoyer, Tom Ricketts, or the players?
I love this question. I think it's a really strong and impactful one. I think the answer is management / ownership. So I think that the responsibility lies with either Jed or Tom. And it's hard to separate that. It's hard to separate the baseball budget from the players that were acquired and the players, quite frankly, that weren't acquired. So I think that Craig Counsell came in and he probably had to learn the team for a year and figure out who he likes, who he doesn't like, who he wants, who he doesn't recognize as a winning player, etc. So I don't hold him entirely responsible, although Dustin will in a minute. And I think that the players themselves, it's not like everyone has covered themselves in glory. It's not like everyone has maxed out their capability. But, you know, you are what you are as a player. And if you do not perform as well as you need to, then you're going to be shipped out. It's real simple. That's life in professional sports. So it comes down to the person that's picking the players and the person that is financing the picking of the players. So it's hard for me to just say it's on Jed without knowing what moves he might have wanted to move and whether Tom rejected that or not. And it's hard for me to blame Tom without knowing if Jed was spending the money wisely and he understood the budget, etc. So I think that I think they should have been a better team. And I think those were that you know, take a pick of that and make an argument with those two.
Well, I apologize in advance for the answer. Disappointing. But it's the players at the top. At the end of the day, they throw the ball, they swing at the pitches. It's the players. And then, honestly, it's Jed, because he chose the players, and he also gave out contracts. This team's not going to look very different next year unless something massively crazy happens. There's not a whole lot of flexibility. And then it's Craig Counsell, and then it's Tom Ricketts.
Don't have to apologize for that answer. So I think what happened yesterday before the game, when Craig Counsell talked about having to put together a team capable of winning 90 games, he set the standard of having a 90-win roster. He clearly was saying he doesn't have that. And what he did, as much as anything yesterday in saying that and being as vocal as he was about it, transparent even, was that he lumped Jed Hoyer and Tom Ricketts together. If this is a management/ownership issue, and this is a management/ownership disappointment in 2024. They were a bat short. They were an arm short. That's what you heard as much as anything from Craig Counsell on Thursday. That's me interpreting him. But I won't be the only one, and I don't think that was not a mistake, because I think that was the intent of his words at that time. You've heard Jed Hoyer talk about threading the needle, and you've heard talk about the competitive balance tax and not going over the luxury tax and all the things that are realities for baseball team presidents and for owners like Tom Ricketts and chairman of, he's got a board to answer to as well. All the things that he tries to keep in check financially. They have the 7th highest payroll in baseball. I don't know if they're going to take a step back or not, but I think what you heard from Craig Counsell was that they can't afford to. Development happened in the major league level with Miguel Amaya and Pete Crow Armstrong and Michael Bush. couple of those things went well in the second half of the season. Was it too late? What happened in May and June? Was the development and devotion to development, did it cost the Cubs in May and June? Because they lost the division in May and June. And that is a fair question to ask. And it was amplified yesterday. So what Craig Counsell was doing yesterday, as much as anything, was he was answering this question for us. He wasn't saying not me, but he was saying it's mostly them. That's, again, that's what I heard. When you say that you need to set a standard for having, and it is having a 90-win team, he's saying we don't have a 90-win roster. Help!
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What week three NFL game besides Bears-Colts are you most looking forward to? And please tell us why.
Fun games on the schedule. I think when you talk about the lineup, I look at the Lions and the Cardinals. What Lions team is going to show up? And that matters here in Chicago because you don't know what exactly you're looking at in terms of, is Detroit for real? Are they going to be a playoff team again? Are they going to win the division and run away with it? I don't know. So I like that game. Are the Vikings for real? I think that's going to be an interesting game. But I think that the marquee game, I don't know, there's a lot of good matchups. Baltimore can't start 0-3. The Cowboys have them in their place. I wonder if that's going to be something that John Harbaugh finds a way to, you know, beat the Cowboys on the road. That would be fascinating as well. So there are a lot of games to choose from. I'm focused on the division. I'm curious about the Packers and if this Jordan Love gamesmanship is just gamesmanship or is he actually going to try to play and come back? But I think that of all the games that are going on, I'm intrigued by if the Arizona Cardinals are going to beat the Detroit Lions and turn the NFC upside down, because that would scare you from a, you know, if you look at the Cardinals, that would be a surprise. And then it would amuse you if you were looking at the Lions and waiting for them to stumble.
I had four other games written down besides the Bears-Colts, but based on timing and lifestyle, I'm going Ravens-Cowboys is my can't-miss game.
That's a good one. I mean, listen, this is week three. There are a lot of good games and a lot of really important games. I'm curious about a lot of them, and I think that, you know, we've seen the Texans. We know what they can do. They're playing the Vikings. That fascinates me. The Eagles against the Saints, I find that the Saints are scoring points like crazy. Vic Fangio is now coaching the Eagles. I'm just very curious after what happened to the Eagles last week, giving a game away in the fashion in which they did. I got to tell you, I think there were a ton of, I like that Lions-Cardinals games a lot because Kyler Murray was phenomenal a week ago. Does that hold up against the Lions? I'm very curious. And just from a personal standpoint, I'm really interested in the Chiefs against the Falcons, just because I want to know, you know, the Chiefs are just barely winning these games, and the Falcons are kind of ahead of the Bears in a way for wild card hope.
You want to see if Kirk Cousins worked on Tuesday.
That's a good question to have. Yeah. There's a lot of them, though. I don't know that there are any games I would tune out. 49ers, Rams. I mean, Rams got to make a move.
Rams are staring at 0-4.
They're staring at 0-4.
That's amazing because although the injuries, you know, they don't, their wide receiving core is totally compromised and wrecked, and they lost some offensive line. I think that could be a very difficult season ahead for Sean McVay.
Dolphins, Seahawks. I'm just saying these are games that you're getting increasingly desperate.
Seahawks are staring at 3-0. If they win against the Dolphins
and
team,
shouldn't they?
They should with that backup quarterback and McDonald's defense up there. I think that could be a 3-0 team. So you could be looking at a very big surprise in the NFC. Mm-hmm. Fun stuff.
All right, that is the pick six. We have the extra point next, and it's a good one. We'll find out who wins the game on Sunday. Dun, dun, dun. We have all the information here. I believe we're all perfect, right? everybody's picked this season two
games
for two.
In. Yeah, right. 2-0. It's okay. Not exactly.
Are you 2-0?
It's a small sample size.
I'm 2-0.
Yes, I'm 2-0.
Dustin, are you 2-0? Oh no, he took the Bears last week. Okay. This is a desperate play for Dustin.
Must win.
Must win.
Make a statement.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.